This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
We want you not just to survive here, but to thrive, to embrace the deep and find your truest story, your truest message. And we're going to do that by bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information specifically geared to encourage, refresh, and equip you in the deep.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download.
Yay!
5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com.
And here's the show. Hey, we're so glad that we get to spend time with you today. And how did you like our new introduction with the
Yay!
Music and everything?
We're so pro.
We're so proud. We worked so hard on that. Now, if you don't really like it, let us know. If you love it, let us know. We like to hear from you either way.
Yeah. And speaking of hearing from you guys, thank you for some reviews we got recently. And we're so
Absolutely.
Thankful. It helps us to know what we're doing wrong, what we're doing right. And reviews on iTunes really does help people find the podcast. So thank you for that.
Thanks.
So let's get into today. When you've done everything right and things still go wrong, that's what
right.
we're talking about today, because I think we all feel that way at times with it's if it's writing or our life or our job or our family.
Right.
This is what happens.
And we're facing a little bit of that in my own home situation right now with my 86-year-old dad, who, you know, he's been the healthy one in the family. He ate wheat germ all the time, ran 5 miles a day. He was a racquetball semi-pro. I mean, dad, you know, he was just this really healthy guy. And yet 4 months ago at 86, he was diagnosed with stomach cancer, and the surgery was really hard on him. His recovery has been really hard. And so he's like lost 60 pounds and he's struggling with, you know, trying to get his strength back. And he feels like everything that he's done all those years of doing the right things from a health perspective just haven't made any difference.
Oh, you know, and I think writers can relate to that in terms
right.
of their own career. What about the great books? What about when they pour their heart and soul into
right.
this message, and it's amazing, and yet the book doesn't go anywhere. The publishers,
right.
maybe they're so super excited, and they cancel the contract.
There's authors whose sales were once really stellar, who were considered best-selling writers, and now with the changing landscape in publishing, they just, well, they aren't. And so because the sales numbers are falling, publishers are pulling away, support is pulling away, and they end up sitting there looking back on their past and feeling like, you know, the aging beauty queen, well, I was beautiful
oh.
once.
You know? You know, and that's hard. What about the award winner, you know,
right.
and then the publisher's like, oh, yeah, you won an award. Great. But it didn't sell. So
yeah.
I'm sorry, we have to drop you. So here we are, and we're doing everything right. And everybody is commending that and agreeing with us that we're doing the right things. And yet we're not seeing the hopes that we're not seeing the results we hope for.
Right.
And so we get disappointed, or we feel like everything we've done is wasted and we feel discouraged.
You know, we've done everything right, but what does it matter? Nothing I do makes a difference. And
yeah.
so on the heels of that disappointment and that discouragement, frustration and anger can seep in.
Yeah.
You know, Erin, if we admit it, I know that it's like this for me. There's a little bit of the gumball machine mentality at work here. You know, I put in my coin, whether it's time or money or ability or refining your craft or going to writers' conferences or tackling social media, whatever it is, I put my freaking coin in. Where's my darn gumball, doggone it?
Yes. Yes, I think we get that feeling. And so
yeah.
let's take a look at somebody, a Bible guy here, whose life seems to be the quintessential example of life's not fair.
Yeah, let's do that.
And so this is John the Baptist. Here's a guy whose birth is foretold by an angel. He's got
yeah.
prophecies. He's going to be great in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to be make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Look at all these expectations. He's not even born yet.
Not even born yet. And his parents are saying, my son, this is what he's going to do.
That's right. And rightly so, you know. And
sure.
God tasks him. God gives him a message from before he was born. You know, that okay, I just want to stop and interrupt the story, because that makes me think about all the people who are writing. I believe that God has given them a message before they were born. I believe that God knit them together in their mother's womb, and there was a message he knit in there too. And the same thing happened to John. He had this message to prepare the way for Jesus, to be a witness, to testify that Jesus was coming. And John was going to preach this message of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. It's going to be different, radically different than what was the system at the time. But it was an awesome message.
And you think a guy who gets this kind of mission before he's born and whose life is focused on fulfilling that mission, you think this guy, you know, as he's growing up, he'd be in a place of study and he'd be cared for and watched over and books and scrolls actually back then. And that he'd be in this really holy place being prepared. And actually the reality is that he does exactly that. But the holy place isn't the way we think of it. His holy place is the wilderness.
Wow.
And he's not fed the best of the best. He eats locusts and honey.
Okay.
This I'm is like, his daily ew. Fare, locusts and honey. And the clothes that he's wearing are not made out of fine material. He's wearing clothes made of camel's hair. You know, it's not an easy life. And in some ways, it's not a really respected life by those who would be considered the religious intelligentsia, the folks who know what religion is about.
That's right. Here's the guy. He's dressed as a prophet, and we know what happens to a lot of the prophets in the Old Testament. Things did not go well for them. But here's John, and he's doing his job. People come out to see him. They journey to the wilderness. It's not even like going to your blog. They actually go to the wilderness. So he's collecting people. People are hearing his message. He's baptizing them. He's doing what God asks him to do, everything.
Right.
And this is a guy who's about repentance and judgment, and he's like, you brood of vipers, you know, flee from the coming wrath, you know. So he's not afraid to tell Herod, you know, hey, dude, you got your brother's wife. That is not cool. That's against the law. You can't do that. Well, he's being true to his message and what he's supposed to do. And Herod, he just slaps him in jail for this, which is not a pretty place. It's a dungeon. It's icky. It's yucky. And so here John sits. But don't forget that John still has the hope. He has been preaching about Jesus coming. And in fact, before John ends up in prison, Jesus actually does come to him and he gets baptized by John, even though John's like, hey, are you sure we should do it this way? And Jesus is like, yes, yes. And John sees the Holy Spirit. And so John knows this is the guy. And John's pointing out to everybody, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the guy. And yet that doesn't change John's message. He's still doing his message as well. So all of this has happened. And, you know, now he's in jail and he's waiting for this guy who he's pointed out to do the thing, you know, come take over.
And you know darn well he's looking at it from the viewpoint of a Jew, from what everybody has been raised to believe about the Messiah. This guy's going to be a warrior. He's going to destroy Rome. He's going to reestablish us as God's people. And so he's sitting there in this jail cell and he's looking, and you can just figure, you can just kind of see the process, just like when we start gaining momentum, when people start coming to our blogs or people start calling us and wanting us to speak at writers' conferences, and it feels like things are really starting to happen, and then suddenly the calls stop.
Yeah.
Or you do a speaking gig and the people are like, yeah, that was okay, that was nice. You know? and you try to do everything right, but they're just not the results you expect.
And so here he is sitting in jail, kind of waiting, and his expectations aren't being met. And, you know, finally he's like, hey, two of my disciples, can you guys go and talk to Jesus and say, are you the guy, or is someone coming after you? Now, I always thought that that meant he was so discouraged that he doubted his own message. And as I was studying on this, most of the scholars do not agree that that's what happened. They were simply thinking that John was questioning what was going on in terms of why are you doing it this way? Is somebody else going to come and restore the kingdom? Because here's what you're doing. Not that you weren't supposed to come, but is there going to be more? You know, are you another forerunner? You know,
so he's not doubting. He's just trying to get his mind wrapped around all of it.
Wrapped around the expectations that he had. And it just, they didn't align with what Jesus was doing, because Jesus is hanging out with the masses, doing these healings and dealing, hanging with the poor, you know.
But you know, I love Jesus' response to this when John's disciples come in and ask him these things. And he's like, take another look at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Look at how this fits with my character. I am the Messiah. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the dead are raised. Judgment is a part of God's character, but John lost sight of the bigger picture. He lost sight of that picture of the blind seeing, the lame walking, the restoration that the Messiah was bringing. And sometimes we get so focused on what we think are the steps and where we think the steps will lead that we lose sight of the bigger picture. Yeah. That it's not about our career. It's not even about our ability. It's about obedience. It's about doing what we need to do to open people's eyes to the reality of who God is.
Yeah, because we lose sight of what God's plan is because we get our own plan just get, right. It gets a little too big. But what Jesus does do, though, after talking to John's disciples and sending them back with this message, he goes and he tells all the people there, he commends John. He says, this right. guy is the greatest prophet among men. So Jesus is saying, hey, this guy did everything right. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. And yet,
so John even got the best endorsements possible.
I know, right? And yet, what's going to happen to John pretty soon? There's this, you know, seemingly random dance that Herod's wife's daughter performs. That's it. Say that fast. There's this seemingly random dance. And as a reward for this, she asks for the death of John the Baptist.
Because, oh, not just the death.
Yeah, she wants the head. A head That's on a platter. Right. This is a woman who has a vendetta. This is the worst critic ever, people.
This is the worst review anybody has ever gotten.
Yeah, but it seems random, but it happens. And so there he is with no ceremony. He's just one day there and the next day he's just beheaded. And when I look at that, I think, here's the guy who Jesus said was so faithful. And the results of what happened in his life, this jail, the beheading, it doesn't feel like it lines up with his faithfulness.
It actually seems to be kind of a black hole of reality. Here's this guy, like you said, who's done everything God asked of him. And these are his rewards? What was the point? How could this even be possible? Yeah. And we can look at our situation as writers and we can say, you know, what's the point? The sales have just fallen off. Or what's the point? I've never been given a contract. What's the point? I've spent all this time. I've been working on this for 10 years and I still don't have a contract. Why am I doing this? What is it that I am staying in here for when everything that I've done just seems to be wasted time?
You know, here's what I think. I think whatever is going to happen as a result of our faithfulness to the task God gives us, we have to keep some things in mind because mm-hmm. all of those things are going to be about God. So we need to surrender because it's going to happen in God's timing, not ours.
Absolutely.
And then we need to focus. You know, am I keeping my eyes on God, on bringing him glory? Because here's the thing, whatever happens as a result of our faithfulness is going to happen in a way that brings God the most glory.
Right.
What can we do then? We can't do anything but what Jesus told John to do. And that's when you're struggling, go back to your focus and look at God's character.
Look at who you know him to be.
Exactly.
Because you know what happens then? You start to shift your perspective. Remember the gumball machine? You know, we have to be careful that we don't look at our writing and let ourselves think that there's this set of scales operating in the here and now. I do this, this will happen, because that's just not the way it works. Faithfulness to God, obedience, hard truth, but they don't translate all the time. In fact, they often don't translate in God's economy to being successful as the world sees success.
Yeah.
You know, we might think that if we do these things, then God will bless what I'm doing writing for him. He will bless my book sales. He'll get it out because it'll get a broader field and God's truth will reach more people. But friends, God's perspective is different. With the world's eyes, we look at John and we say, what, that was his reward? I'm telling you right now, that was not his reward. That was just the consequence, a part of the journey that he was on. His reward will come in that well done, good and faithful servant, because
right.
he did what God called him to do and what God asked us to do. They're all pieces in this ginormous puzzle. And everything that we do out of obedience will come together and will accomplish what God wants, whether we see the fruit of it or not.
Yeah, exactly so. It's like, as hard as it is for us to embrace, the truth in all of this is that doing everything right, even everything that God asks us to do, doesn't ever mean we're going to see the kind of results that we want or that we expect, because we don't have God's eternal perspective. We have to bow to that, no matter if we suffer. Look at the people who have suffered and suffered and suffered, and we don't even see their reward. They don't see their reward. But like Karen said, it's not here. It's later. It's in heaven. There is judgment. It's just not always in the here and now.
But in the here and now, we can surrender to his purposes for us. We can fix our focus on him and on bringing him glory in everything we write, everything we do. And then, yes, continuing to do what we know to do and doing what's right. And then the process of that, we may gain his perspective.
Yeah.
We can be reminded of what his purposes are and what he wants to accomplish. And in doing that, we will most certainly gain his peace in the midst of it. So if you find yourself in this kind of a dark place, in this deep place where it seems like you've done everything right and nothing is turning out the way you wanted it to, realize the story's not over.
Yeah.
Your path isn't done. You don't know yet what the consequences are. You don't know yet what the reward is. You don't know yet what God is doing. We're still in process, and we can only find out from him through his purposes, through his perspective, what it will all mean in the end.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.